this episode brought to you by our other sister podcast, C-Class Citizens.
Our sometimes podcast, C-Class Citizens. So.
It's a podcast of indefinite length and irregular release frequency.
Yeah, exactly. We'll do another one. How's Monday treating you? I wonder how this is. I'm gonna see if these paint brushes are showing up on the levels. They are. Yeah.
So
this is gonna be a good one.
Day of work. I decided. Yesterday was Ashley's due date.
Right.
And no baby. So she's gonna be induced on Thursday.
Okay.
And I have a decent amount of vacation time because we haven't been using any for events and we haven't gone anywhere.
Right.
So, today was my last day, and I will go back on July 20th. Yeah.
That's so bonkers, man.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous of people with real jobs because I took one day off when I had a child, and it was the worst. It was the worst.
Right before we started the podcast, I got the evil eye, and I'm sure Ashley's listening now. So I got the evil eye because I told her I wanted to go to Hanami.
Right.
Which is understandable. But the doctor says that we can't have any visitors and can't have any help for at least a month. So it's like a deadbeat dad thing to do to leave your recently born child at home alone.
What's the reasoning? Because of the Rona?
The Rona, yeah.
Man, the Rona. Man, I'm so sick of the Rona. Doesn't your doctor know that we are onto the riots and like we got bigger fish to fry, man. Man, there's like 8 people dying.
24-hour news cycle.
Yeah, Seattle's like a police state and like has a warlord now. Like we got a lot of other cool stuff going on.
And yeah, I feel bad because like Moss is coming to Hanami, and I like try to talk him into it, and now I'm gonna tell him I can't go.
I think you're going to Hanami. Everything's gonna be fine. There's going to be a cure for the Rona, and the cure for the Rona is more cowbell, and it's going to be totally fine. No big deal.
I do have a fever.
Yeah, man. So how was your weekend last weekend? You stayed at home while I pretended to be Adam and Abe at the same time, and every time I had to do like a scrutineering thing, I was like, man, this fucking blows.
It was weird. So like. I would say that I probably did 95% of the job from my desk at my house, which is
I would say you might be borderline more efficient because you're not being bothered by everybody too.
That's so true. I did a lot of stuff. We tried something new. It wasn't quite as elegant as like an RSS feed, but I did have like a real-time blog running for the event where I was like calling out things that happened and like race winners and stuff like that, and it took like a mountain of time to digest all of the stuff that happens into that and type it out as fast as possible. Because I think that was an awesome addition. But I'm not a writer. Like Patrick Morgan is a writer.
Yeah. And I think he did a great job. Yeah, I think he did a great job, and I would love for you to do it forever, and now that's your job. So.
Damn it. it was fine, but basically I was trying to watch Kyle and Tom do the play-by-play for GLTC so that I had some things to write about for the GLTC races, because you don't know anything that's happening if you're just watching the live timing and scoring.
No, and you'll only see who comes across the line in front of who else. So.
You know who surprised me for being as competitive as they were on their first outing?
What's that? Or who's that? Dude, Smadigar's car, he kind of blew it up on Sunday morning in the practice. If he hadn't blown it up, I think he would have been in contention for weekend points for sure. Like, I think he would have done quite well. He might have been in the podium. That car, it's very fast, and it wasn't quite even optimized power to weight wise for GLTC yet. So
right, yeah, I think it was a little heavy and a little underpowered. Is that right?
I think so. He drew the random dyno choice. We dynoed podium and a random, and coincidentally, it was Smedegaard. there might be a little less randomness in there than we'd like to admit, but No,
it was only one name in the hat. We randomly drew the one name.
Yeah, we ran. Hey, and here you are, you get a fresh dyno. yeah, he was having VTEC issues on race one. He was second from the pole in qualifying, which is very impressive.
Yeah, and if you watched that lap, he was obstructed at lap seven, or not lap seven, corner seven. He easily lost a second on his qualifying pace because of a car there.
Yeah, Andy Smedegaard knows how to time attack, and qualifying is basically time attack. Yeah. So, I think we'll see him do quite well this year in GLTC. He did have one illegal mod, and that was a window net deletion, so he was on probation for that.
So, window net delete?
Yeah, he was like, I couldn't find it anywhere in the rules, and I was like, "It's, I don't know where it is, but I know it's in there," and I found it later. It's in there. So he's got to add a window net, but that's no big deal.
We should talk a little bit about we can wax poetic about what we're going to do in the future.
Right.
I've been talking to James Houghton on the phone.
Ooh, the Hotown. Hotown bro down.
One of the things that he was bringing up, a couple of things, were one related to time attack and one related to GLTC.
Okay.
When we have GLTC fields and they're like 30-plus cars.
Right.
He was describing how challenging it will be if it gets bigger to try and do a qualifying lap where you're not impeded by somebody somewhere.
Yep.
Well, I don't know what to do about that other than split up two run groups.
No. No. Part of the challenge in qualifying, it's not time attack. Like, we're not guaranteeing you a perfect lap. It's qualifying. So freaking lay it.
True.
Yeah, lay it down.
Strategize a little bit.
Yeah, lay it down and be a boss, or just put a lap in. Like, it doesn't have to be a perfect lap. It's got to be better than everybody else.
That he was talking about that was time attack related, which I think in this case I agree with, is there are five cars in a group on any given time attack weekend,
right?
Where you and I have said before, they're not buying track time, they're buying an opportunity, right? Like, they only want a few chances.
Right.
And what he said that they had done, I don't know if it was with CSCS or another group, but like those four or five cars, like the upper echelon of the A group,
right,
they get two hot laps at the start of a session.
Okay.
And they roll out and they do like their two laps. And as soon as they cross start finish after their second hot lap,
yeah,
the rest of the field gets released.
Okay.
And so his argument was, if you don't get it done in two laps, you're not going to do it anyway. So, like, yeah, you shouldn't expect clean track after that. But what it does do also is it makes sure that everyone is paying attention to those cars at that time.
Makes sense. I agree with. Yeah, I like some aspects of that. That's not a bad idea. And, might be an Ontario time attack or CSCS thing, yeah.
Yeah, and practically it costs only a couple of minutes of track time, and
right,
it really just makes sure that those guys too, like, don't impede someone else either if there is an incident.
Right, makes sense. I like some aspects of that. We should talk about that. Yep. I'm into discussion on that.
I like discussing.
Yeah.
Well, so I haven't listened to the shows that you did with Moss and when Ashley told me you were making fun of me baking bread. So, like,
I think I said you were being Susie Homemaker or something like that.
Bread's pretty good, man.
I don't know if I said anything about bread, but I was probably rather inadeptly making fun of you for something, but.
That's probably true.
You probably deserved it, whatever it was.
Added to the list of my fancy things, one of my friends got me a baby present. And the baby present is a coffee mug by some company called Ember.
Okay.
And it's a coffee mug with a battery on the bottom and an iPhone app. And you set the temperature of the coffee mug, and then it just stays at that temperature.
That makes me mad. I'm mad that that's a thing.
So I used it the other day, and it was awesome.
How long will it hold the temperature?
So it has a little like inductive charging thing, kind of like your toothbrush does on the bottom of it.
My toothbrush doesn't have that. My toothbrush is 1 cent, and I scrub it with my fist. Like I put my, I wrap my hand around it, and I move my hand back and forth like I'm, like a person,
like a Philistine,
like a caveman.
So,
scrub teeth.
Like, it's got like an inductive charge thing on it, and if it sits on the inductive charge mat, it'll stay that way forever.
Okay.
Like if the cup gets empty, it just shuts off, and. If you're like not using the, it's basically like a saucer. If you're not using the saucer, I think it lasts like an hour or more.
Right.
Which means that like if you're sitting at your desk doing your things and you know gotta make a number two, you go do that and you come back and your coffee's still hot.
It's fancy awesome. Men don't go number two. Come on, let's be real.
Sometimes you go number two all the time.
Man, anyway, I
think I had like
I'm
six
that...
cups of coffee and it was incredible.
I'm mad that that's a thing, dude. I'm like, I'm so disappointed in humanity that they invented that. Like, that doesn't solve any problems. Who drinks coffee so slow that they need a mug to keep it warm? Not I. I drink so much of it that it's always hot. It's always too hot, and I still keep drinking.
See, that's the problem. The too hot. I don't like the too hot. I want
to. Man, people need to man up, dude.
How many times have I told you just because you can live hard doesn't mean you have to?
Man, you need to drink it so fast that your mouth burns and like it dribbles down your lips because they're raw, and like, man, I can't imagine drinking coffee so slow.
You
can
just
never
need to, like I
can
know
never
you
drink
you
enough
know
coffee.
How to enjoy the finer things in life? Sometimes you just need to.
No, I don't think I know how. I think I'm really bad at life. Like we went camping this weekend, and I love going camping and I love hanging out with the girls, but like it's not any fun. It's not relaxing. It's just work somewhere else. Like I don't know how to relax. I don't know how to chill out about anything anymore. I think I forgot what fun is. I didn't even bring my car last weekend because it was like I didn't have the mental capacity, and like it didn't even sound fun anymore. And I just wanted it to be over. I forgot about all the finer things. I forgot about fun.
So, speaking of finer things, right now I am having a Manhattan, which is terrific, with those $25 Luxardo cherries. any person who doesn't buy these, like, this is money well spent.
What's a Luxardo cherry?
It's like the highest end like maraschino cherry that you can use in a cocktail.
Okay.
If you go to a cocktail place and they have those bright red shits, just turn around and leave.
Yeah. What color is this one? Is this a purple cherry or what?
They're like really really dark.
Okay.
No, the next I'll bring them the next time I come to an event. You'll be.
How long do they last?
Like a year in the jar.
Oh really? Okay.
They're like brandied. They're delicious.
Okay. Interesting. I did have my first Manhattan a few weeks ago. My dad made me one. I've never had one before that I can recall.
Aren't they wonderful?
It was pretty good.
Manhattans and Sazeracs. Those are my go-to cocktails.
I don't think I've ever had a Sazerac.
They're lovely.
What's that? I think you told me about this last time I saw you.
It's got the glass is either like spritzed or coated with Herb Saint, which is like an anisette flavored liqueur.
Okay.
And then it's rye and like simple syrup and a couple of other things. I don't recall. And then it's like dressed with a lemon wedge. It's really good. Or a lemon peel.
Interesting.
They're awesome. And if you go to New Orleans, basically any place that you go to will make you one.
Okay. It's called a Sazerac?
It's called a Sazerac.
I think I've only ever heard you say that word. It sounds fancy. Sounds super fancy.
I know that you like gin and tonic, but like you need to broaden your drink horizons.
Man, if I find more shit that I like, we might have a problem on our hands.
So, we should talk a little bit about car stuff. I don't know.
We talked a little bit at the beginning. It's got to be a qualifier.
So I made some space in my garage for a van that I don't have.
okay.
My friend has a subscription to Consumer Reports, right? And he just talked to me about the data the rankings between minivans, and you would be surprised to find that the Toyota Sienna like is demonstrably better in the overall ranking compared to the Odyssey, which surprised me. And it did so on the basis of reliability, and that surprised me even more.
Right. Well, Toyota's famous for that, and Honda's reliability is not what it was 30 years ago.
That's true. Yeah. And what's interesting about the Sienna is that like the interior is like crude by comparison.
Yeah.
But like it's a minivan. I think the point is it's supposed to be utilitarian and it's supposed to be sturdy.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a van, not a Lexus that's taller. So,
my buddy was shopping for one as well, and he was like, "You can get like a decently trimmed out Sienna for used one for like 27." So,
okay. Are you actually thinking about getting a van?
I'm fucking getting a van, man.
Why are you getting a van?
So I can put shit in it.
Man, you don't need a van.
I'm trying to clean out my garage, and I have these like Adirondack chairs that we're trying to take to Goodwill, and I wanted to put them in Ashley's car today, and I could not because they wouldn't fit.
Okay. Are they made out of real wood?
No, they're plastic.
Oh. I was going to say, I want some real wood Adirondack chairs. I could just
chop them up and throw them in the garbage, but like...
Or you could come to an event and bring them to me at the event, because I could use some more deck chairs. I got a giant deck.
You want to see my deck?
Yeah, man. My deck is bigger than your deck. It's 50 by 22, Abe. I have over 1,000 square feet of deck.
Oh, that's a lot of deck.
Yeah, it's huge deck.
My wife loves that much deck.
And I've got a 20 by 13 in the front. Built them both myself, like a boss.
No minivans required in the assembly of these decks either.
Well, yeah, but you had two trucks.
Yeah, I do have two trucks.
yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
What else is going on? These are like the big things in my life. I got that coffee mug, no baby yet, and potentially a van.
Yeah, you got that coffee mug, you got the desire to buy a minivan, so things are going real good for you.
Shout out to Andrew Raines at Apex Pro. Been talking to all the spec fit guys, and they are interested in buying Apex Pros, so y'all need to get some more inventory so that you can hook those guys up.
Yeah, so it turns out like all of a sudden we got like a whole new generation of spec fits. There was like three of them there last weekend. They're like, hey,
and all the guys said, and all the guys said that they like have more fun doing spec fit than they do with anything else.
Yeah, like half of them have like other real time attack cars instead of fits, and they brought fits instead. So I mean, I think that's kind
of
cool.
I was talking to a few of the guys, and I talked to you after the event. I think that Gen 3 fits.
It's too good.
Need some ballast.
Yeah, probably too good.
They are like marginally heavier than the second gen, but they make like 30 more horsepower.
Yeah.
So they are the target power to weight, I think, is what, 22 or 22 and a half, something like that.
I think it's
and
26,
like,
actually.
Oh, is it? Anyway, they're like third gens are over. So right. I was talking with some of the guys, and they're going to come up with a strategy for how to put that ballast in the car safely and, like, you know, get people up to speed on how to do it correct. So.
Right. Yeah. I was thinking about at the event, I didn't look at one, but I was thinking, like, could there be something? Could you make a different spare tire,
something like that? But that might not be strong enough yet. I don't know. Like a heavier spare tire or something.
Yeah. I mean,
it probably needs to be like a couple hundred pounds.
But. Yeah, it's like, I think it's about 180.
Yeah. Might not be enough. So
you'd probably put it in the spare tire well. You just need to make sure you do it safely.
Yep. Yeah, that is a problem with ballast in some series. You don't want the ballast to go flying if you have an incident. So.
Yeah, right. But, no, spec fit is cool, and it always has been. And, I don't know. It's good to see some competition there, and it's good to see those silly cars fighting at the back.
Yeah, they appear to be having fun. A couple of times during the weekend, there was like four spec fits out there choo-choo training, And I would pull out the cell phone and turn the PA on and go to YouTube Music and play Come On Ride the Train as they went by. Toot, toot.
Oh, jeez.
I only timed it correctly one time. Like, you got to find that, like, choo-choo part of the song. And it's hard to do. I'm not good at technology, as we've found out a few times.
No, that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
So how's riots in Chicago?
I don't know.
Over? Still rioting?
There's probably somebody mad about something. But I don't know. I've been so last week or 2 weeks ago, I decided that I had had enough of Facebook, and I took it off my phone, and I haven't been looking at it. I'm in a better mood all the time. I think Facebook is bad. I think it's bad for me mentally. And so I also like haven't watched the news in 2 years because I was like, man, this news sucks. It's making me so sad. I don't even want to like be a part of the humanity anymore. And so I stopped watching the news.
Of the humanity?
Yeah, I stopped watching news and I'm like, wow, my life got a little better when I stopped hearing Larry Potash and WGN tell me about how much everything sucks. Yeah, I think I'm kind of over it all. I'm really not sure what's going on, and that's fine. I think that's good. I shouldn't know. It was a weird time for me during like the peak of the Rona and everything, and I started watching the news again, and it's just like I can't take it all in. Like, it's too much.
You just need to keep making those sneeze guards and like just live your life.
Yeah, dude. I sold like $10,000 in sneeze guards the other day to a school district, and I was like, man. Thank goodness for the Rona.
is putting up a sneeze guard easier than putting a window in your door?
Well, every one of them is different, so they're all like semi-custom. I mean, most of them ain't very hard, and a lot of them have led to other business. Like, my day job is like slaying it right now. It's like too busy. I'm stressed about the amount of things I have to do, which I guess is fine. So I can't complain there. But yeah, so I guess things are good, but I wasn't looking forward to event season because of the amount of stress, and I'm just having a tough time dealing with some stress. That's all. Most of that is on me. I'm overdoing it.
Ecstatic that Autobahn were only running south.
Yes, me too. That's always been a bit of a hassle.
So. There's effectively 0% chance that I will be present in person.
Yeah,
but high probability that I do exactly what I did at Gingerman.
Yeah, I'm gonna be blogging, gonna be making me some spreadsheets.
It's weird. This is exactly what I do in my day job, and here I am doing it at Grid Life.
Yeah,
like I'm the man behind the curtain, or a man behind a curtain, so to speak.
It was good to have you back there. You're talking time and scoring, and making me sheets, sending me things. Talking to drivers via text message. If somebody had an issue, you can let me know. I can go look at it, or I could send somebody. It worked pretty well. I mean, like, it felt like you were there because I was talking to you all day.
Yeah, that's true.
But
so, what I need is you to have like solid internet connection so that you just put me up on the screen at Pickhart, and then I'll just be there.
Yeah, Chris wanted to have a. So I guess like for a few $1,000 you can buy like a robot that like you could control. It looks like an iPad with wheels or something. But obviously we don't have a few $1,000 to spend on an Abe robot. But it would be interesting to be able to like I think there is a point someday in the future where like one of us could do our jobs from home like fully like. Because we had cameras and we were on the radio frequency or something. Yeah. I don't know. The technology is not easy yet, but it does.
If it was going to be anywhere, it'd probably be at Autobahn because like the internet connectivity at Gingerman isn't great.
It will be eventually. Every time I've been there, the broadband guy is there. They've got like a real guy building it. And supposedly it's going to happen. There's these cool neon green cell tower thingiers that are up in the paddock, but they don't clearly Wi-Fi things. They don't do anything yet, but they're there. So it's happening, but it's not done yet. But.
That's wild.
Yeah, hopefully someday. If we didn't do the live stream at Autobahn mainly because of the internet connectivity issues. That was such a big deal.
at Midwest Festival, like it took 2 full days to like beam the internet from Grand Rapids and like catch it. I don't know how the frick that works, but it's a thing. And then obviously it's a lot of money. We had most of the same shooters there doing shooter things, but
So it costs less when it's not. On Facebook that were talking about not having the live feed and like, you know, how sad they were. And I tried to chime in on a Facebook thread to like give some people some perspective, because like the Rona has hit event companies really, really, really hard.
Yeah, we're just trying to exist at this point.
GridLife is like not one of those companies that you would say like makes money.
not yet.
So like, I was trying to say, I was like, guys, like the live stream costs tens of thousands of dollars. We're just trying to get our feet under us first.
Yeah. I mean, the team was there capturing GLTC on Sunday. So we're going to have 2 recap videos coming out pretty quickly of GLTC. They'll have interviews. It'll look like a live stream. It'll just be like, it'll have some post in there. It won't be all live, have some post-production. And I'm excited to see that. I think that's going to be, that might actually be a better product overall.
Is Rally Matt doing that?
Yeah, Matt. And I think we had 6 shooters there on Sunday. So there will be some good media coming out of it. We had GridLife Radio. That was the live component, but that was mainly because that was the only internet that we could use.
Kyle is just the best.
He's good at talking about stuff, and he's also really good at technology. So, I would like to have a Kyle at GridLife one of these days. We've been trying to figure out like how do we have a full time Kyle maybe or something. We'll see. I would love to have Kyle. Maybe Kyle can do my job so I can go race. Get Kyle and Cone and train him up and yeah, I don't know. How has the Mugen SI treated you? I heard it was in for some repairs, and that's why you had minivans on the brain.
Yeah, the car was at the dealership for 3 or 4 days. This was a job that I didn't want to tackle on my own. So a couple weeks ago, I was at a friend's place, and I locked the car door, and the lights didn't flash. And they always do, right? And I was like, oh, that's weird. And like a minute later, the alarm went off, and I was like, oh, well, that's odd. And then like I locked it again, and it was fine.
Right.
And then over the next few days, it got kind of progressively worse, such that if I locked the car door, the alarm would go off. And it wasn't the alert button on the key. It was like, hey, Honda car thinks someone's trying to break into it. Let's set off the alarm.
Yeah.
And I read a little bit on the forums. Shout out to forums. Those are the things that the young people don't know about.
I'll miss them. They're the best.
I miss the forums, man. Yeah. That's where you go to learn things.
Yeah, Facebook, you can't figure anything out.
There is sensors on the 4 doors and the trunk and the hood. And if the car thinks that any one of them is being tampered with, the alarm will go off.
Okay.
Well, with one of those sensors, if one of those sensors goes bad, the alarm goes off. And I don't have the Honda whatever multi-tool thing to figure out which sensor it is, so I tried the trunk and the hood.
Right.
It wasn't those, because those are easy. You just, like, bypass them. So I was like, well, it's one of the doors somewhere. And so, anyway, I wasn't going to try and solve that problem. I took it to the dealer. I had to order parts, so I had to go back the next day. And the guy started working on it, and he got, like, everything replaced. And then he was like, well, it didn't fix it quite yet. And so he had to find, there were like the pins in the connectors or something weren't quite right on the harness side.
Okay.
So he had to like solder and repair stuff. And I was like, well, I'm glad I wasn't working on this, because I spent 6 hours on it. The whole charge was, including the part, was like $330.
Right.
And I was like, okay. But he spent 6 hours on it, which meant that I would have spent 36 hours on it.
Or you would have spent 6 hours on it and then brought it to him and spent $400, you know.
Yeah. So it's fixed now.
Sometimes
so
you got to punt.
And in that time, they gave me a loaner vehicle because they had like they thought they could fix it on one day, and they didn't. So they gave me a loaner vehicle, and I asked for the Odyssey, and the lady behind the counter was like, "You want an Odyssey?" And I said, "Hell yeah!" And so I drove the Odyssey. And it was sick.
Why did minivans like
what do they do for you? What do you like so much about them?
They got plenty of room to haul shit. I've got two big ass dogs, and we'll have a child, and I want to move things.
What kind of things are you moving? Those Adirondack chairs, we've already covered that base, but like what else?
Plywood?
Yeah, but you can get that delivered, man.
How much does they charge to deliver it?
My lumber yard doesn't charge me anything.
For delivery? Are you crazy?
No.
Really?
Yeah. I call my lumber yard up, and like old man Jay, he's like, "Hey, State Lumber." And and I say, "Hey, it's Adam Jabay. I need this and this and that." And he said, "When do you need it by?" And like he gets it to me as fast as I can. I think the most he's ever charged me is $5, and that was to bring it to the north side of Chicago.
That doesn't make sense. Why would he do that? Why
because I'm a loyal customer, and he's a real business.
Real business.
Home Depot's not a real business, man. They've been ripping off people with minivans for 12 years.
You make a good point.
Just find a real lumber yard. Have them delivered for you. You'll never.
speaking of real lumber yards, this is not a lumber yard as much as it's like a lumber store.
Yeah, you found a fancy lumber store, and you've been doing things.
Yeah, I've been making all the Grid Life trophies, and they are not cheap to make.
They're super
and
cool.
I hope drivers appreciate them because they are awesome.
Yeah, you did a great job. You have a buddy with a. You did the ones for the most recent event, and you have a buddy with a CNC wood burner engraver thing?
Yeah, it's a laser engraver. Yeah. So it will laser engrave almost anything. So like wood, glass, acrylic, it'll like fucking do anything.
Right.
It's really cool, and he spent $6,000 on it just because he felt like it.
What did he want to do with it?
This mess around, I don't know. He's the kind of guy that just does things, man.
You said like, he's one of those types that doesn't care about money because he makes enough and he just buys whatever he wants tool-wise.
Yeah, like, do you ever like go to the airport or something and you see one of those fancy fountains that shoots like a jet of water from one side of the room to the other?
Yeah.
Okay. Sunday after we got done making trophies, so I was over there all day Saturday, and on Sunday morning he texts me and he's like, "I made a laminar flow cannon. I need a large water pumps and a lake so that I can shoot a bunch of water around." And I was like,
"What?
Cool."
He just like made one of those?
Yeah.
Of course he did.
Yeah, right. So this guy
sounds awesome and so bored.
both. The trophies for the first round were made of I think it's a Costa Rican wood. It's called Purple Heart.
Yeah.
And it's like bright purple. It's a really, really unusual wood. There's like no stain or anything on it. That's just the color.
Yeah.
Round two is just produced. We finished those on Saturday, and those are mahogany, which is beautiful.
Yeah, mahogany is a good looking wood.
Then the Mid-Ohio trophies are walnut.
Okay.
I think those will be done soon. And then Pikes Peak, the trophies are a crazy wood that I've never seen before called Jatoba. Mm-hmm. And each trophy weighs like, each plaque weighs like 2 pounds. I mean,
the
it's
Jatoba
the densest
ones?
Wood I've ever handled.
Yeah.
Like, it's unbelievable. And it's like with some tongue oil. The wood itself is kind of reflective, like it's it looks kind of coppery or bronzy.
You said it's like iridescent, huh?
Yeah, it's wild. So that's kinda cool. That's Pike's Peak trophy.
No, I think it's I think they're really cool because they're made by you, and they're also super unique because you're choosing different woods. So what is this like wood store that you found?
It's a lumber yard, I guess, but they're not like a high volume place. They're It is a place that you would go if you were a guy that built furniture or okay. like built jewelry boxes or whatever.
Right.
They have just a bunch of like long planks of whatever you. I mean, they have more species of wood than I've ever been seen in a store ever.
That's cool to find a place like that. There, I don't know of any place around me that has. I mean, my lumber yard has probably six species of wood, but like nothing exotic like that.
I bet you they have 60 to 75 different species.
That's a lot. That's cool.
And I text you a picture. So I thought that Purple Heart was expensive, and wood is sold by the board foot, which is right. not the same as linear foot. It's a board foot, which is length by width, basically, divided by 144.
Yeah, it's basically square footage, isn't it?
Yeah. So Purple Heart is $13 a board foot, which is yeah. hella expensive. That means 2 8-foot boards is $200.
Right.
And that's like entry level when it comes to expensive wood. By comparison, yeah. ebony, which has its own backstory, ebony is $175 a board foot.
Oh my gosh, really?
Which meant that a 4 foot long strip of wood that was like five inches wide ish was almost $400, and it was there when I was there.
I had no idea ebony was that expensive. That's crazy.
So if you want wood that's like black, there are other varieties you can get. It's just ebony happens to be crazy expensive.
Yeah.
And that's guess like the story is the
black, right?
The reason it's so expensive is because it's illegal to like log it. So they can only process trees that just like fall over.
Okay, that makes sense. Can't chop them down, huh?
So yeah, I've got two more sets to make in the future for what is it, Road America, and then back at Gingerman. So I'll try and pick out something that's creative there and
yeah.
Trust no, me. I think it's cool. I think it's cool. I'm sad that you're not coming to Autobahn. I do. I miss seeing Abe. I wish you guys were coming.
I know.
But.
You know, I miss freaking driving my RV. I bought this thing, and I haven't used it in 8 months.
Have you gotten it out?
No.
Why don't you go get it and cruise it around?
I probably should, because Tomo and Giles and Renee and Ed are staying in it at Autobahn.
Oh, they're taking it?
Yeah, they asked. So I said, okay. Yeah, sure. But I do think, I told you the battery's dead, so I'm just going to put a new battery in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should probably get it out and drive it around a few days. Just make sure nothing's going to be stupid for them. Because yeah. I'm going to have to fix that problem.
Well, it sounds a lot like your problem, not mine.
Okay, well, that's cool. I think Autobahn's going to be... It's going to be a big... it's going to be a busy event. We're doing a little bit less Time Attack, but we're doing GLTC, so we should have about the same amount of drivers. There will be a small drift element every day. That's the plan. Or both days, I mean. So that's the plan right now. I'm figuring out the schedule, and it's not easy.
Well, at least you don't have an hour track changeover that you otherwise built into the schedule every event.
Well, we're going to still need more time because, like, at Gingerman this past weekend, I had a little bit extra time built in the schedule. And, like, I don't think I'm giving that up again. I think we're always going to have extra time built in the schedule.
Well, I mean, it always gets used, right? Like,
it always, yeah, there's always something.
If you don't use it, it's not like you can't just do fun runs at the end of the day.
Right. So, yeah, you can never, especially at Autobahn, you can never count on things going on schedule. We are going to bring the rescue guys, the best safety tow team. They're only going to be doing tows, but that's what they do so well. Because the Joliet Fire Department, who is the like safety team there, like hates doing tows. So
safety guys. I love those guys.
Yeah, the rescue guys. Rescue guys. That's their name.
Rescue guys.
So that'll probably help event flow quite a bit, and then we won't bend any cars.
What about cars released before the last car is back into the paddock?
I'm working on it. We had the actual track lead. It turns out the new track, like the lead corner worker, is like friends with James Morgan, the new one, Savannah.
Oh, cool.
And she was actually at Gingerman, so
So I got to know her a little bit at Subi Speed Expo last October or November, September. I don't know when it was. So I think she's going to be our track lead. I'm going to have a full event flow, like call with the track manager, Mike. I really, really want, I want to keep doing Autobahn, but it's gotta, we just gotta fight. We have to like be more on the same page beforehand and fight each other less day of. And they really like
good vibes only.
Yeah, they really want us to be there, especially this year. I think they've had some cancellations and stuff. So Chris and I had a good call with them on Thursday, I think. There will be a little bit of changes. I think the track is going to be requiring masks if you're within 6 feet of anyone at all times. So like anywhere in the paddock, anywhere in the facility. That's really the only change from our Gingerman COVID-19 coronavirus, whatever. Operational changes.
How did that like work out at the last event? Everything pretty much good?
Yeah, it was fine. No real blowback or pushback. I think one of the corner workers was the only guy that was like, I ain't wearing no mask.
So, he's out at the corner by himself. He
yeah.
Doesn't give a shit.
Yeah. I mean, in the paddock, like people were, it was largely similar. There was a decent amount of people wearing masks, but in any of the close quarter places, we were requiring them, like in the staff areas. We did drive through tech, or walk through tech. And registration. So they walked through one at a time through the tower, and I had Lexan barricades set up, sneeze guards hanging from the Gingerman tower ceiling, and that was like the closest they would have to come to any staffers. But for the most part, I had my mask on most of the time, and I had just one of those Falcon masks stretched out over my face. So I also looked cool. So that was good. But
yeah, I stole Ashley's grid life one. I look awesome.
Overall, like if somebody was like camping or sleeping in the same bed with somebody, like obviously they weren't wearing masks. The only people that I let ride in cars together were people that are cohabitating or sleeping together, and I made them like prove to me, and they had to get in at the top of grid and instead of down at the bottom of grid. So,
gotcha. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a cool weekend. Lots of really fast cars, and I can't believe that the record time in Street Mod from October.
Crazy.
Wouldn't have landed you on the podium this week, this dude, last event.
So crazy. So fast. Like
the progression was just insane.
Yeah. Yeah, what did what was the podium last year, the winning time last year that they fought over? Like it went back and forth.
Something.
Yeah. And then it immediately was into the 33s.
Oh yeah. And yeah. I was watching Moss's in car, and it's like I think he fights that car a lot because he's making a million gear changes a lap. And so, there's more time in it if he gets the gear changes right and everything is just dialed.
It was actually a fun one to watch. Like, the car looks so hairy. It looks so hard to drive. Street Mod was a war between Moss and Ronnie and... Jackie and Dewey was what P4. He was fighting the crap out of the car. The car was not underneath the Dewey yet. They made some changes and also ignored the car all winter. So
all those Wisconsins and Minnesotans are they were doing not proving grounds last weekend, I guess, or just yesterday and the day before. Because I think that event was canceled for this year. But
oh really? I don't know.
They were at Brainerd. And I don't know that track very well, but I'm like kind of paying attention to videos and things. Turn two on the competition course is like this crazy fast, crazy high speed sweeper.
I think is that the one that is supposed to be like the fastest turn in America or something like that?
Yeah. So Andy did it in Ronnie's car at 145.
How does Ronnie's car go 145?
I don't know.
That's got to be like top of
six. I'm not saying it's the same, but like just the sound of that reminds me of like Tamburello from back in the day, where it's just like, this is as fast as you're going to go. And you gain time here by just you know, being outmanning this corner, you know?
Yeah, just being way crazier than the next driver.
Yeah. So, yeah, Andy told Ronnie not to lift and to just take it flat at 145. And Ronnie put up the data, and he lifts, and the car slows to 130 during the turn, and then he starts accelerating.
Oh, my goodness. But, like,
he's still going 130 through the turn.
That's so sketch, dude. That's a really fast turn.
That's a really fast turn.
Yeah. Speaking of Brainerd, it reminded me. I saw Scott Robertson post something about, I think his car got up to 114 last year on one lap at Brainerd, like total. Nice. But it was an NB Miata with a 1.8 last year. He and G-Lock brake pads are doing a fundraiser for, was the American Cancer Association, I think. I sent you a message about it. Let me look at it. I'd love to plug it here on the show. I told him
I would. Looking, thing starts. Drawing is you can buy a ticket or make a donation. It's available today. The drawing day for the winner is June 29th. They're asking a minimum of $25 donation to the fundraiser page. They ask that you follow G-Lock Brakes on Facebook and Instagram and then subscribe to Robertson Racing on the YouTubes. And you can win the drawing.
Yeah, so maybe get some brake pads and definitely donate to cancer research. Scott's, I believe Scott's dad passed away from cancer a few years ago. And so they've been obviously trying to raise funds for cancer research and awareness and stuff. So yeah, give them a check out. Check them out, Robertson Racing. And he's active in all the GLTC pages and Grid Life pages and stuff. So good dude. Good. He's a listener. He's a buddy of the show. So been on the show a few times. Him and Becky, they still drive the car everywhere. They're coming to Autobahn. They're coming to Honda Meet. He's one of our core group of instructors as well. So yeah, check them out. Robertson Racing. See if you can donate to the American Cancer. What is it? American Cancer Society. I forget. I'm bad at things.
Yeah, that's a thing. But, yeah. Speaking of instructors, our boy Brad from Tire Rack was out instructing first time with Grid Life. I guess he had a good time.
Yeah, and I bought some tires from him, and I just mounted them for my wife's car too. So I did my first Brad from Tire Rack. Brad Ryan from Tire Rack purchase. So
if you guys are looking for tires, you know, we try to support our boy Brad because he is awesome.
He brought to Gingerman. He brought this Durango with like a Paxton or some like a Whipple blower or something on it, like with a big Hemi, and it was it's a one lap truck car thing. And I think it's like a 10-second vehicle in the quarter mile. It was so gnarly. It was so gnarly looking. I don't even know. I think he took it on track, but I don't even know like what it would run. But seeing a Durango in just cruising the pits, that when you blip it, it sounds like you can hear the blower. It sounds like a turbo car almost. There's so much blower noise. Like it's a belt driven, basically a belt driven turbo, a centrifugal supercharger or whatever, but it was a really cool truck. I looked it over for a few minutes.
apparently it autocrosses really well too.
Yeah, I think it's been a one lap vehicle for a few years, and I think he's potentially driving it this year. I don't know, but he's a gun for hire, man. He's been gonna drive a Time Attack car that hasn't showed up. Also, he's gonna drive Ron Mullet's car with him in track mod this year, I think.
So. But Ron was, you know, having Corvette problems.
Yeah, yeah, Corvette problems. So he drove his son's EP in Time Attack, but EP Civic, definitely not a Corvette with turbos.
Corvette with turbos though, like Ferris went really fast.
Ferris did go really fast. What did he do? 157 in the big straight at Gingerman.
Yeah, well, 157 in the back straight.
Yeah,
that's got to be like some kind of record, because I know that Houghton doesn't go that fast.
Yeah, the car, like, in a straight line, like, you know, at Gingerman, when you're up at the front where we're pitted or sitting in the pit cart, you can get a good feel for the speed, because you can see, like, the turn two to turn three straight. You can really see, like, the four, five straightaway, because it's right in front of you. And then you can kind of see most of the 10 to 11 straightaway. And seeing him in relation to other cars, like, that car in a straight line
is freaking bonkers, dude. It's so fast.
Maybe I do a horrible job describing it. I think I've said it on the show before. There are only a few cars that like really, really mess with your mind watching them because of how fast they are.
Yeah.
And like the only way I can describe it, and maybe this will connect with you because you're at the, you know, you're in the grid so much. There are certain cars that when they come out of 11, let's say, and you're watching them from 11 to 1, as they accelerate, they move faster than your eyes anticipate they should.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you're like, you're kind of playing catch up with it because it's actually going faster than you think it's possible.
Yeah, like your subconscious can't track the pace.
So like Mike Dussault's car did that at Road Atlanta for me.
Yeah, you,
like,
I remember
watch
that.
It down the front straight and you're like, good grief.
Yeah.
Because it's just accelerating so fast. But
yeah,
I
the
bet
rolling power
is like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot like that. You'd see him pull out and like Jackie would be behind him or Moss would be behind him, and and obviously they're in 500 horsepower cars, but this thing, like, I think on low boost it makes like 850 or something crazy.
It's crazy.
Like the rolling power that, and it's in the 2,000-pound range. It's not a heavy car.
2,800, I think, with him.
Yeah. It's not a heavy car. It's a monster. What a weapon. Like, if it's reliable, it's going to be a force to be reckoned with in Grid Life, Ultimate, Streetcar, whatever, Optima, and in Super Lap Battle. It's going to be really, really fast. He already won Super Lap Battle with an NA this year. So.
And it's so much faster. But
and the Turbo Kit is really cool, too. It's really cool.
Especially at like Coda as an example, though, he's going to have to make some gearing changes because as it was, he was out of RPM. Like there was no more on the back straight at Coda. And so I think he spent like half the back straight just feathering the throttle because he was out of gear.
Yeah.
So the sequential in the car is geared really, really short, which meant that like between like 7 and 10 at Gingerman, he was in fifth. And then as he comes around 10, I think he's in fourth, and he like powers out, shifts to fifth, shift to sixth, and then like is already kind of feathering a bit on his way into the break zone.
Yeah, dude, you don't want to be feathering it, brother. That's not fun at all. It's so fast though in this straight line. It's just like it's drag car fast. Like it looks like a drag car. It doesn't seem real. Really
cool. The way Alex and crew did the turbo kit is just the coolest.
Yeah. Having them in the behind the wheel area of the fender and having that fender cut out and they're just right there and they're dumping. It's really neat. Really well done. So I did have to clean up the entire paddock because he lost a drain line or something for the dry sump. It cost us about a half an hour of track time because we had to clean up the turn 10 braking zone. Luckily, he hadn't continued around. He was on a cool down lap when something popped, and we only had to clean up the braking zone at turn 10, and then he entered the off track area, the hot pits and stuff. But yeah, so he has had one mechanical failure, so he's got that going for him.
But. Yeah. I don't know, man. That car is cool. And I, you know, obviously I love Moss's car. I think just about everything he did is awesome. But I think the surprise was how fast Ronnie was.
Yeah.
Not that Ronnie's not always fast. He is. But, like, that car is on another level compared to where it was a year ago.
And, like, it's a car we didn't even know was coming until, like, the week before. So, yeah, very, very quick. Way quicker than I expected a Street Mod Evo to go. Aside from like,
31?
Yeah, what did Krebs back do there? Like a 35 something last year? Like,
yeah
he's got some work to do now. So they all do. Yeah. Pretty wild weekend. The big crash. We had the largest crash in Gingerman's history, according to Gingerman. Luckily, everybody walked away. We appreciate everybody in Facebook land that donated to Evan's rebuild, Evan Weeder. So he's got the funds to rebuild his car. The cause of the crash was suspected mechanical failure of a car. and like brake failure. Literally, the brakes just were perfect. We're gone. And I don't think we need to talk too much about what kind of car it was on the show. But people who know know. So hopefully the company who built that car gets that sorted out. So pretty scary crash, man. Like freaked me out a lot.
Well, and then you see the video, and it's like, oh boy.
Yeah, I sent you both views of the video, right?
I only got the one.
Which one?
Wait, I got the in-car from Evan also.
Oh, yeah, the in-car from Evan's terrifying. And then the video from the car that did the crashing, obviously terrifying. You see the car, basically, it seemed like the only brake that was doing anything was the right front, and it pulled him hard right in turn 10. He crossed track, which is the thing I've never suspected a car to be able to do. And went down into the apex of 10, basically, and T-boned the car in the apex of 10. It was super bizarre.
Did kind of makes cars me roll?
The Civic did not roll. It basically got pushed directly, like 100 plus feet directly. It got shoved parallel to the track, like immediately. It was so fast, so far.
Man.
Makes me really want to put like a guardrail there too to keep cars from crossing track potentially. But I think that might be the first time it's ever happened, and that configuration's been up for over 10 years. So
yeah, well, anything that can happen will. So
yeah, it was bizarre. So chunk of asphalt missing. I mean, it was serious. It was real serious. So
yeah. And then Jackie went into the grass there, into like the Raptor weeds.
Yeah, the deep, deep weeds. We had to tow him out. His car was... We had a lot of brake fires. The crew got, I think... The safety workers got a little bit used to brake fires by the end of the weekend. And the corner workers were, like, barely calling them out. They were like, car's smoking. Who cares?
So. I don't know, man. The cars are... Like, I think we say this every year, but they are just so fast.
Yeah.
Right? Ferris was... I think less than a second away from Pearl Awesome's time from 2016.
Yeah.
And like, if you talk to Mike, he'll be like, man, that lap was shit. But in any case, like, that car was dialed. I mean, it was the fastest car that Grid Life had ever seen that year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And really now the Track Mod group is running that fast. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Pretty wild. So.
I didn't appreciate this at the time, and I didn't realize when Pro Awesome and Dan did the 29 back in 16. Dan was rolling gears in an H pattern box.
That was basically like a street mod car with Hoosiers.
Yeah. Man, those guys.
Things have changed a lot, man.
So good.
I'm excited to drive my car in a few weeks at Autobahn, or less than 2 weeks at Autobahn. But I'm also really nervous. I feel like I'm not up to it anymore. So I'm going to start from the back and see if I can go have some fun.
Do you think the forecast will be 110?
I hope not, man. I'm used to this nice weather. It was beautiful weather here this weekend. We went camping at Indiana Dunes.
So nice here.
And at Gingerman, it was perfect weather. Like, barely had the AC on. It was like 75. It was awesome. Like, we've had a couple of nice weekends. This week it's going to be sweltering again. So I got that to look forward to. But... I'm excited to drive. I haven't raced my car since October when it blew up. And looks like we're going to have a pretty good field in GLT season. We have 20-some cars at least right now. There's like 25 signed up, so we'll probably be over 30 cars again.
Are the Kellys coming?
Yeah, I think that's their first event. So
good.
Should be fun. We'll see where it goes. Yeah. So I've been painting my RV ceiling this entire podcast, and we just eclipsed 1 hour. I hope the audio is good.
If you hear some stroking in the background, well,
you know what it is.
Could
baby.
Be the paintbrush.
It's definitely me though. Yeah.
So I've been talking to Spec Fit guys about Apex Pros.
Yeah.
I'm really thinking those guys are gonna go faster with these devices.
I had four loaners at Andrew sent me four loaners for Gingerman event, and the beginners played with them the entire time, which was pretty cool. So
Well, I gave them to Bill and Bill Griffin, and Bill Griffin distributed them amongst the beginners and used them for some data coaching. So I think that's sort of a program that we're looking to get some help developing. I've been talking to Andrew about ideas for using data in our beginner program and in our intermediate and advanced programs. So that might be a thing.
I think I'd really like to, I mean, obviously you can't force anybody, but I'd really like to see it in especially like the intermediate advanced guys.
Yeah.
Not as a requirement, but like, this is a resource. And for those people that might want to start competing, you know, the ability to know how to collect data and then know how to make use of it.
Yep.
I think is the next step, because it seems like all of the drivers that are going fast these days are using the data.
We actually had, for the first time ever, we had an intermediate and advanced group lead. John Raymond filled that role this weekend. He also drove GLTC in the tiny little 1.6 spec Miata, the yellow one. But that's something that I'm looking to develop more with, is like literally just having a dedicated group lead, drivers meetings for those groups, and really, really trying to push the cleanliness and the progression of our HPDE. So hard to do when you got like no staffing budget, you know, like when everything is volunteer or like trade for track time based right now, because basically we just want Grid Life to continue. I really do appreciate all the volunteers and the help. It's been a blessing. So,
yeah, man. I think it's crazy time for just about everybody, and in the event business, this is hard times.
Yeah, it's hard times, and not our favorite little race shop up in the north side. So, yeah.
I don't like that Charlie shaved his beard. Looks weird.
he doesn't look like Charlie anymore. But he's still handsome as ever. So
that's true.
Yeah.
All right, we're probably into this for like more than an hour. We should probably wrap it up, don't
you
think?
You know what's something that I do want to do? I want to thank our Patreon subscribers. You don't by chance have a list of who they are, do you?
It's like a big list.
I know. Names, I know. We should thank them at some point. I think we should thank them by name at some point.
We can do it.
We almost got money to buy a cool board for Abe. So
I think we do have the money to buy a cool board, but I talked to my tax guy, and like we're gonna need a tax guy. It's like
great.
To have him do it, he might like do us a favor, but he wanted to charge us like $600 plus. Like we need to pay a person to manage sales tax, because we sell T-shirts on the website,
right?
And like, I just want this to be easy. We're collecting like, I don't know, a few dollars from the website with respect to T-shirts. So,
right.
If you're an accountant and you want to help out Slip Angle, we'll send you a T-shirt if you can help us make sure that we pay our sales tax.
We might even send you more than that. I'll even pay you as long as it's not $600, right?
But yeah, I've got a whole bunch of names here. It's like all the people.
And you have them in front of you, or no?
It's like fucking long, man. Yeah, I got it.
All right. Well, we'll end the show here, and we'll end it by calling off a bunch of names and stuff like that. So we appreciate everybody listening.
Big thanks to Scott Malloy, Aaron Burton, Alex Nordenson, Andrew Rains. We love you, Andrew Work, Eric Streeter, Austin Warshall. Ben Mitchell, Brock Moore, Chandler Marr, Dalen Chapman, Dylan Day, Grant Borman, Jacob Bodenauer, James Houghton, Jim, Jay Gloomis, Jeremy Boysen, Josh Carter, Josh Rubenstein, Kevin Head, Luke McGrew, Marshall Cash, Matt Bengry. Love it.
Ooh, the Bengry.
Matt Murphy, Nathan Brown, Nick Stewart, Peter Lindbergh, Phil Jolicoeur, Promo, Sean Dudgeon, and Spencer Kimball. Thanks,
ooh,
guys.
Man, that's a lot of people. I even know, I don't even know all those people, which is cool. I'm glad that they're our friends, though. So, and I hope this mediocrity of a semi track focused podcast can continue because of your generosity, and we can buy gear to make it easier to do cool interviews And you can hear me bitch about how stressed I am.
We did have one listener send us a personalized message. At the last episode. So Ryan Dussex sent us a note.
That was on Anchor, right?
Yeah. If you go to Anchor or you search anchor.fm and you search for Slip Angle, you can send us a nastygram or a happygram if that's what you want to do.
Like a voicemail. He actually recorded us a voicemail.
He recorded a voicemail for us, and he was excited because we released the shows in the middle of the night, which it's like super early on Eastern time, but then it's really late if you're in like West Coast California. And he was driving from somewhere in Colorado to somewhere else, and it was a long drive, and he saw the next Slip Angle post up like right in the middle of the night. So he was super stoked. So
we kept him awake. I'm glad he didn't die. And I think he just bought a house. So congratulations to him. So
if you want to send us a note, you should go to Anchor and record something. And we might even play it on the show if it's funny.
It might not be a good podcast, but it's the only one that we do. And we appreciate you all listening.
If you like the show, tell your friends if you haven't already, and rate and review us on iTunes. I'm told that that matters.
Yeah, I don't really.
I can't actually verify if
it
does, but I'm told it does.
I did. He was in the list of Patreons. I talked to Jake Loomis. He was at. I think he bought a gold pass for intermediate. Him and his brother were at Gingerman, and it's always good to chat with people. So if you are a listener, feel free to come up and. I don't bite. I sometimes kiss when I'm allowed to. So you got that going for you, which is nice. So, we really appreciate everybody. So, I think we'll sign off here. So.
All right. See you, buddies.
I'm going to keep looking upwards until my neck breaks and paint this fucking ceiling. All right. I should turn this off, shouldn't I?
See ya.
Slip Angle was created by Austin Cabot and Adam Jabe, co-hosted by Derek Yarbrough, and production by Abram Schmucker, who mixes all of our terrible audio. If you like the show, please rate us and review us on iTunes, and come and find us in the pits at a grid live to say hello.